Storage Week Hairless Cats, Rising Stats and Skeptics, written by Hudson Sangree, and read by an automated voice. By Hudson Sangree. San Francisco, can battery storage become a significant part of the grid in the next 5 to 10 years? Some who spoke at Infocast's Storage Week Plus conference last week were optimistic it could happen, while others sounded notes of caution. Some saw batteries as a way of storing excess solar and wind energy for later use, while others said batteries were best at supporting the grid in other ways. The relative novelty of battery storage and uncertainty surrounding it makes it a little bit of a mutant child, said Holly Christie, Associate General Counsel at Invenergy. I have a hairless cat, and sometimes when I take the hairless cat for a walk, I get a lot of strange looks from people. They're like, is it a dog? Is it a rat? And I feel like with storage, it's like that too, Christie said. They're like, do we paper it up like a power farm? Number do we paper it up like an asset acquisition? Not really. It's not a financial tool. Panelists noted how Infocast Storage Week conferences have been attracting larger audiences, highlighting the growth of storage. Copyright RTO Insider. Unlike most aspects of the energy industry, there are no standardized forms to fill out or typical deal structures, so each project tends to be cool and very organic but also fraught with financial and legal challenges, Christie said. What many speakers agreed on was that interest in storage is growing among regulators, utilities, and developers, pushing it forward at a surprisingly rapid pace in an industry that's generally slow to adopt new technologies. It's a very, very exciting time to be in the energy business, said Barry Worthington, executive director of the United States Energy Association, a DC-based interest group. Worthington moderated the panel on standalone storage that Christie appeared on. I've been in this business for 40 years, and I've never seen the rate of change that we're witnessing now, including one of the most exciting parts, storage, he said. He was on a storage panel at a conference 5 or 6 years ago, he said, and I think there were 6 people in the audience at that time. And you look at the audience today, and it's really quite remarkable. Moving on up. The audience for Storage Week Plus filled a sizable meeting room at the historic Westin St. Francis Hotel on Union Square. Representatives of RTO/ISOs, major utilities and green energy groups listened to a dozen panels on storage and renewables, project financing and opportunities for utility-scale storage, among other subjects. The upscale venue and size of the conference signaled the emergence of storage as a viable solution for reliability challenges, some speakers said. Niraj Arora, a partner at law firm Morgan, Lewis & Bockius, moderated a panel on what off-takers, such as utilities and corporations, expect from storage. 5 years ago, those expectations were extremely unclear, Arora said. At that time, there was less than 100 megawatts of installed storage in the U.S. Now Terese less than 1 gigawatts, but the figure is growing fast, and in 5 years, there will be 5 gigawatts of storage, he said. We're going from a $1 billion market this year to something like a $5 billion market in 5 years, and as many of you who have been coming to this conference know, we've gone from Oakland to the Hotel Kabuki in San Francisco's Japantown, and now we're here at the esteemed Westin. So we can see that industry is certainly maturing. One of his panelists at Storage Week, Arora noted, was James Barner, manager of long-term strategic planning at the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. The department is seeking approval from its board to buy power at record low prices from the nation's largest solar plus storage project, with 400 megawatts of solar and 200 megawatts of storage. Niraj Arora, standing, moderated a panel on off-taker perspectives that included James Barner, Ladup, Tara Fowler, XL Energy, Kevin Short, ANSA Electric Cooperative, and Carlos Fangino, City of Vernon, California. Copyright RTO Insider. The deal may be an indicator of the future trajectory of storage, some speakers said. In 5 or 10 years, storage will be much bigger, said Randolph Mann, founder and president of S-Volta, a Southern California company that develops, owns, and operates utility-scale energy storage projects. I think we'll have as an industry utility-scale storage in every state in the country, Mann said. I think that it will be a core piece of every utility's platform and toolkit. I think the technology will be reliable enough, the contracting structures will be reliable enough, that we'll have a lot of institutional capital participating in the industry. And I don't think we'll be able to do Storage Week conferences in a room this size. Harnessing expectations. Others, however, expressed a degree of skepticism that battery storage, with its high costs and short run times, would be the answer to storing excess wind and solar power for later use, such as meeting peak demand. Instead, they said batteries were most adept at providing grid support. For instance, CAISO updates storage as transmission asset plan, in a pilot project under that initiative, Pacific Gas and Electric will install 7 megawatts of battery storage at a 70 kilovolt substation near Danuba. It will be the first dedicated storage transmission asset in CAISO. Nicole Efron, PG&E, talked about CAISO's first project using storage as a transmission asset. Copyright RTO Insider. The battery will be used only occasionally, including to support transmission operations during emergencies, said Nicole Efron, a PG&E principal who presented at the conference. It will not fit into CAISO's market, but the storage unit was deemed a more cost-effective solution to reliability concerns than running new conductors, she said. This is an instance where a single-use unit could work because alternatives were more expensive, Efron said. Barner said pump storage likely would be the key to longer-term storage and discharge, not batteries. Pumped hydroelectric power provides lower cost and longer duration discharge than batteries, lasting a full day instead of a few hours, he said. Kevin Short, the general manager of the ANSA Electric Cooperative in Southern California, said storage is essential, but he questioned how fast it might be adopted in an industry that has been hesitant to adopt new tools over the last century. If Thomas Edison were alive today, he'd recognize about 90% of what we do, Short said. Storage is a piece of the puzzle we absolutely need to adopt, he said. It's very similar to the trajectory solar took a few years ago. Randolph Mann, S. Volta, Holly Christie, Invenergy, and Barry Worthington, Usia, discussed standalone storage projects. Copyright RTO Insider. Invenergy's Christie said lithium-ion batteries are prone to fires and explosions and likely will be replaced with newer battery technology. After her remarks, Usia's Worthington asked her how she walks her hairless cat. On a leash, she said, with harness and little t-shirts. I recommend it, she said. Once you go flesh, you'll never go back to fur. I don't like cats, but I'm going to have to give some consideration to having a hairless cat, Worthington said, prompting laughter. I think the hair part is what makes me not like cats. You learn something every day.